There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Monday. Glad to have you along. And as always, streaming live at FMTalk1065.com, tune in radio app, and of course, our podcast. You can go to the website, get them a la carte, go to FMTalk1065.com where you can stream and do all that stuff. You can also get the podcast there. But the best thing to do, like if you want to make sure Bill Finch's Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast is like there when you're ready to listen, when you're in that gardening mood, make sure you subscribe at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, Deezer. Pretty much Dalton has it on lock. If there's a podcasting platform out there, we're probably on it. So make sure find your favorite platform, sign up, and get those shows delivered right there to your phone. All right, it's good to talk to my buddy John Sharp from AL.com, and it's been too long. It's good because it's a very cool story to talk about, and number two, just self-serving. I hadn't gotten to talk to John on the air in a month or so. So, hey, man.
Hey, Sean, long time. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you doing this as well, and I really appreciated your story. So the governor, if y'all forgot, so Governor Ivey at the State of the State address talked about infrastructure projects. We're all wondering, you know, would something come down in this neck of the woods, southwest Alabama? And it did. Of course, it also brings in central Alabama, but this four-laning of Highway 43 was a big deal. You did a deep dive into this. Let's talk about this. Kind of back this out, and what did the governor say, and then what have you found out since?
Yeah, so kind of back this up a little bit. The governor's State of the State address, which was way back at the beginning of February, I believe, that was one of my biggest takeaways when she brought up this project. Mm-hmm. You know, we want a four-lane U.S. 43 from Thomasville to Tuscaloosa. I thought, well, that's interesting, and I think it would be of interest to folks down here as well. So, you know, I started diving into it a little bit and spent a day last month, drive a beautiful day, by the way, driving up and down the road, talking to folks, and thoroughly, one of those assignments that you, I mean, it's just you get away and you thoroughly just enjoy the day. And that's basically what it was, just talking to a lot of good folks up and down 43, you know, along with public officials and school officials and so on and so forth. So, yeah, I got to drive the road. It was a long day, but it was a great day spent. And, you know, just kind of did a deep dive into the road, maybe a little bit of the history. I thought, you know, there's some of these communities and the history that they have. I mean, a lot of it's hidden history. You know, folks really don't realize the importance of some communities like Utah and Linden and so on and so forth, both the civil rights and just the history of Alabama in general. So, you know, there's a lot more stories to tell, I'm sure, than I even got to, you know, with the stories that I've done here. But, you know, definitely down the road, as this project moves forward, there will be those opportunities. And you know, kind of like a little nudge to the state. Hey, you got this opportunity here. Let's see. You know, with 43, it's not just a road project. You're going through some areas of Alabama that don't see public investment,
right,
like a new corridor very often. So there are opportunities here. You know, according to the governor, this is a project that could begin this year. I was talking to Al about it. It seems like there's still a lot of work to be done, but they got this new concept that they go about doing these projects called design build. It hasn't been done before in Alabama, so I think we're all going to kind of look at something a little new here as far as trying to speed along a state highway project.
Is it why is that process faster than what we did before?
Well, it brings the design and the construction bids under one umbrella. So I guess you could handle them both at the same time and do little small fragments of the road.
Okay.
That's my understanding. And the idea is to begin in, well, really a place where they're going to begin the project. It hasn't completely been identified yet, but I think there's some interest in starting the project in Thomasville because that's where the existing four-lane ends for U.S. 43. U.S. 43, essentially, as a four-lane, goes through Clark County all the way to Mobile. But it ends in Thomasville. And then so the thinking is to take it from Thomasville and start heading northward.
Okay, from south. I was wondering about that. So go from there to Thomasville and start working your way north.
That's correct.
You point something out, too, just the numbers here. I want to get back to what it means for different communities, different people there. But you talk about numbers. This was telling. You said more than 16,000 vehicles travel along the four-lane road every day. You're talking about 43 in the southern section here. That number, then you said, on the two-lane stretch near the Clark-Marengo County line, the average daily traffic counts are under 4,500. Now, I wonder how much of that is just there's less people up there, or how much of that is, because I'll tell you, and people will know exactly what I'm talking about, traveling back and forth to school as a student all those decades ago at the University of Alabama, or going to a football game now, I didn't take 43 beyond Thomasville. I either took 5 over to 25 up to 69, or I went, these days, we'll go to a Bama game, and we go through Mississippi to get there.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? And but you're talking about fewer, obviously,
yeah, is it,
roads,
is
small
it that,
towns, fewer
yeah.
traffic.
Yeah, is it? But would that is the idea here? And I don't know if anybody's talked about it. Would that traffic count if you made that a? I mean, I'd rather just stay in Alabama than go over to Mississippi to do it. Do they have a projection for a traffic count? I mean, 16,000 to 4,500 is a huge difference. There could. Do you think that would pick up and help those towns along the way?
Yeah, I would suspect so. I mean, I think that would be just a natural influx of traffic. Now, to what extent, we don't know yet. Again, this road has not been completely modeled out yet. I think there's some questions on where it would go, especially when you hit a community like Linden.
Mm-hmm.
43 currently cuts through the middle of downtown.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, to extend 43 on its current trajectory would demolish half the community. So you'd have to bypass it around the city.
And they do that, right? They do bypass.
Yeah.
I mean, you have 43 already, like Grove Hill has a bypass, and other, you know, so, I mean, they have done that.
That's correct. And I, you know, as I did my story, I think there was some concerns about how 43, if you do bypass the city, let's say you bypass around downtown Demopolis, you know, what does the 40, and I talked to a business owner downtown, he's like, well, I don't think this does anything for us, you know? I mean, we have a lot of empty vacant buildings downtown. We're facing a lot of issues. A lot of small towns throughout Alabama, and quite frankly, the country are facing. You know, I know extended road could bring economic development to our community, but to what extent in our area? Because how are you going to get people off the road to come to Demopolis? And he
mm-hmm.
mentioned Grove Hill. And there's some truth to that. There's been some businesses built out by 43 in Grove Hill. But, you know, going downtown, I mean, it's a charming downtown. I think if people go downtown, they're going to learn something. But how many people actually driving from Mobile to up towards, you know, Thomasville to Tuscaloosa taking 43 are going to stop off in Grove Hill? I don't know. I mean, I suspect not many, just to sightsee. But there is a, you know, again, there's interesting story to tell in downtown Grove Hill. There's some beautiful sights to see. It's
yep.
a small little town. It's charming. So, and how do you, that's the interest of, as you take this road up north, how do you sell some of these communities? There's some potential there, really, especially with where, you know, and I touched upon in the story today with a town like Utah and some of the civil rights history that you got up there, and that how communities like Mobile are looking at, you know, trying to take the issue of, well, trying to take Africatown, for instance, and market that. So, you know, there are potentials there.
I wonder, and you mentioned safety, though, too, that within those towns, because I think, you know, and, you know, I've always on my soapbox about Highway 45. But I wonder, yes, four-laning, it brings the possibility for more business through these towns, right? More people traveling through there,
right.
Whether it's for fun or for work or whatever, brings that. But just people who aren't traveling through, that are traveling to their house to work or back and forth, it's got to be something they're looking forward to have four lanes. I mean, two-lane roads these days, I mean, it's just there's so much traffic, even where there's not a lot of traffic, it's dangerous.
There's a lot of truck traffic there, and it is dangerous, especially at night. It's difficult. It's not a well-lit road, so it is hard to traverse and certain areas. And I mean, when I'm on that road, I try to time it so it's daylight still. I feel more comfortable when I get, for instance, when I took this trip just to do my reporting, I got to Thomasville right at sunset, and I felt better that way. You know, I was getting on the four-lane portion to head home to Mobile, to Daphne, where I live. And so, you know, I just felt more comfortable. You feel at ease, you know, having obviously more elbow room to drive on.
It is. It's a lot safer. So this, I mean, you talked a little bit about the new way they're going to do this, the road build, and it could speed up the process. Did anybody give you a concrete date on, like, when all the muckety mucks get out there with their chrome-plated shovels and their ill-fitting hard hats and go, oh, we're starting construction, look at us work, and then the real working people come in?
The million-dollar question, Sean, I asked that question. I didn't get a response. I even asked for, you know, an estimate of the total project cost. I mean, how much would it cost us to do this corridor from Thomasville to Tuscaloosa? I think obviously that's something a lot of people would like to know, but they're not there yet. So we're still waiting on a lot of details. And, you know, I'm as you are, skeptical about how fast a transportation project like this can begin and what this all could look like. So I think there's a little bit of an educational component from the state on this that it still needs to be unraveled and publicly disclosed so that we all know exactly what this project means and where it's going to start, and the folks in, you know, Dixon Mills, when they might see their road versus the folks in, you know, up by the bingo parlors in Greene County. So, there is a lot of, it could mean different things to different people along this stretch, and there's a lot of answers still in this. But I think there's this feeling that, there's been skepticism from a lot of folks that I talked to that have been involved in this project for years. I talked to a former probate judge in Marengo County, and she indicated to me, you know, she'd take lobbying trips to see Governor Bob James decades ago to try and push for this project. And she's been skepticism, but now she says, well, I'm kind of optimistic now. You know, the governor mentioned in her State of the State but I think there's a feeling that, you know, let's get the shovels in the ground, let's get this thing started.
So yes. Yeah.
You know, if Governor Ivey doesn't, the governor going forward, that, you know, the future governor doesn't come in and go, well, this money should go somewhere else in the state. So,
well, and speaking of money, so we got the gas tax money that could be used on this. We also have that with the backdrop of what's been rolled out here, Thursday, Friday, with $4 billion coming to, and I know it's broken out in some different ways, but let's $2.3 billion going to the general fund, or could be used for the general fund, of money coming in with whatever the Super Rescue Dog American Great Spending Act is, what they passed out of Washington. Could any of that money be dedicated to projects like this?
I don't know. Good question. Possibly so. And then how much is going to these individual communities? I mean, there's been some questions on whether, you know, if well, for instance, Thomasville's mayor, Sheldon Day, had indicated to me, he brought up a good issue, you know, to be prepared for this corridor being built that right now would be financed through the Rebuild Alabama Act. But in order to be prepared for it, some of these individual communities along the corridor might want to look into improving their sewer lines going out to a particular road or their water lines. And so perhaps that money could be used to, you know what I'm saying, in order to enhance their community's ability to take advantage of being near a highway, a four-lane highway that, you know, they could use an investment of some sort in order to move in that direction. So you could have a truck stop or convenience stores or fast food restaurants along revenue-producing businesses along a corridor financed through public investment of some sort that could be potentially revenue from that they just recently received from the federal government. So, that could be one way as well. But right now, as it stands, my understanding is the Rebuild Alabama Act for this particular road is the way it's going to be financed, and that's through our gas tax increase.
You mentioned Mayor Day, Sheldon Day. You know, the way I see this, and I see it as a benefit for all these different places, whether it be, you know, Utah or Dixon Mills or anywhere along the way, but Thomasville, way I see it, is in the, and not saying anything nefarious here, but they're in the catbird seat because they've built out some businesses, some manufacturing there, but they are the terminus of that four lane. If this gets changed, they're at a really good place for trucks in and out and those kind of things. It's probably a big deal for Thomasville.
Oh, yeah. Mayor Day's excited about it. Interesting, as you drive this road between Thomasville and Tuscaloosa, the two areas where you have these four-lane roads, so you got 43 and through Thomasville, and the southern end is well-developed. I mean, there's commercial activity all along the four-lane section of 43. Then you get up into Demopolis, and you have U.S. 80 that cuts through east-west corridor, and that's four-lane, and that's where all their industry is at. So it was kind of interesting. You know, it's interesting to observe that where the industry goes to. And so, this could be a redefining thing for this section of Alabama. It, again, doesn't see public investment to this extent very often. But at this point in time, it seems like that's where we're heading. As far as the Governor Ivey signaled her interest in doing this project, and it's got a lot of people excited up along that corridor.
Well, a lot of great reporting on this. If people want to, of course, go to AL.com to read it or find you on social media, how do they do that?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at JohnSharp99. And then, the stories are up at AL.com.
You got any kind of basketball predictions? Anything you want to throw
into? Yeah, I'm excited. You know, I'm a big Iowa Hawkeye fan. They got the Gonzaga region. I think they're on pace. They're the 2 seed. Gonzaga's the 1 seed. I think we're on pace for a collision course there. Although, I can't get too homerish. I think that Gonzaga winds up getting to the Final Four. They're just an amazing team. Jalen Suggs is probably, he's just a phenomenal basketball player. So it's going to be tough for anybody to beat them. Alabama's got a really good team. They drew a good 2 seed slot as well.
Did you see my alma mater play some basketball? Four. Did you see my alma mater play some basketball over the weekend? Wasn't that something?
Yeah. Interestingly, LSU played a great game. They're an interesting matchup there. They could potentially play Michigan in that second round. And that's an interesting game. I think we could see the number 1 seed bump there potentially. Michigan's got the 1 seed. I think LSU's got the 8 seed. And that would be an intriguing second round game. So if you're filling out your brackets, I mean, that's one to take a look at, because Michigan stumbled down the stretch a little bit this year. Illinois's got a fantastic team. I mean, they're really good. So I mean, there's a lot of good teams in this tournament this year, and should be a lot of fun. I'm sure there'll be plenty of upsets. I just hope my team isn't one of them in the first round, or your team.
There you go.
Potentially could happen. I mean, I think when Alabama drew Patino in the first round, so
see how that goes. But y'all see why one of the many reasons I like John, he could do great reporting and also talk some college hoops with us. As always, man, I appreciate our conversations, and we'll check back soon.
All right, Sean, thanks.
There he is, John Sharp, AL.com. All around good guy. Y'all check out the story over at AL.com, or I just put it up on the Twitter feed as well. Be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
To 128 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, Monday style. Glad to have you along. Phone line, text line, together. Same number, 343-0106. 343-0106. We'll come back on a couple stories. Want to get into, we'll talk some state news. But on the federal level here, well, okay, I'm going to combine two things. So there's, and you can help me with this. So there's a story, let's see, that's the sound I make when I'm scrolling and I'm scrolling. Yellowhammer News, Henry Thornton has a story. Alabama's unemployment rate fell to 4.3% in January, best result since the pandemic began. You can look at that story, and we read a little more in depth, but you can look at other states as well and think about that. Here's the problem. $4 billion coming out of this Biden rescues all super spender bill. Yes, if the money is out there, we're going to spend it. But the question is all the spending that's going out beyond the 9% that's actually COVID related, is it a little bit late if we're pushing past this, the vaccines are getting in arms, people are going back to work, and now we're going to spend all this money?
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Keeping our eye on the radar as well. You heard Dr. Bill talk about the rain chances and the chance for severe weather coming up next 48 hours. Looking at the radar right now. Getting showers like Weeks Bay, like they're a big mouth. I guess it just came past you, and then you're getting it up the bay. Looks like Point Clear getting it as well a little bit in South Mobile County. Dauphin Island getting some as well. Looks like off and on thunderstorms are going to be part of our life for a few days, which is... We could use the rain. We could use the rain for sure out there. But we'll get more from Dr. Bill coming up. You get updates twice an hour every hour. And then all through the morning show with Dan and Dalton. All right. I want to read some of these texts here. And I got a couple stories. Let me circle back on the story from last hour. Just to, if you weren't listening, it was just about an hour and a half ago. This came out from our news partners at WKRG. Said a former five-term Mobile County sheriff has died. Tom Purvis, 85 years old, served as sheriff of Mobile County for two decades, from 1975 to 1995. Purvis passed away peacefully in his home this morning. His family told that to WKRG News. He's survived by his wife, four children, two grandchildren, and one great-grandchild. I remember, I mean, for like a lot of my life, it was Tom Purvis was sheriff of the city. All right. From the text line here, let's see. John says, I wonder if they're ignoring other road widening besides Highway 43 because other roads go outside the state of Alabama. John, I don't know. You know, it's a little murky how they score road projects. And there's a committee of people to do it. I've talked about it before. We talked about it with State Senator Chris Elliott about it before. But like, how do you know which road project is more important? Outside the political ramifications, is it about how long it's been on the list? How many people go through? I've been told it's traffic count. Okay. Could it be traffic count and revenue? And so if you look at a project like 43, it probably doesn't check a lot of those boxes, right? But they're getting around to it now. 43, like John's pointing out, stays in the state versus a 45 that has been something I have just talked about and talked about and talked about, and I'm not the only one. You know, I know Jeff Poore talks about it a bunch. We talk about it with Representative Stringer, but before that, many other elected officials about widening 45 to four lanes. John, I don't know that. Does it get downscored because it leads into Mississippi where 43 does? I don't know. I don't know, but I'll tell you right now, Mississippi didn't look at it that way because it's four lanes right into or two lane. All right. Ben says, with the paper mill on Highway 10, new copper plant in Wilcox County on Highway 5 between Thomasville and Pine Hill, if we start now, maybe in 25 years we can get that four lane. I would hope. I think I've told you all that story. The closest I came to ever dying was on Highway 5. Right outside of Thomasville. A long time ago, early 90s. Early 90s on the way back to school. Hydroplane there. Went off the road out through the trees. There's a reason you don't get in my car and don't put on a seatbelt. The reason I'm sitting here is the seatbelt that saved my life that rainy Sunday night. I would like to see improvements on 5 for sure, Ben. David's suggesting they end up putting a toll on 43 to pay. Now, David, stop with that. He said, can we call it the Roll Tide Toll? I see where you're going with that. Adam says, do you know what the blank is going on with the Highway 158-98 project? You know, I don't. I need to dig into that because I'll see that if I'm cutting out to, like, if I'm coming down 45 and I'm going to go out to West Mobile, that, you know, it's like great for a section, and then you get there and you got to make that hard left and head south, and then it's not picked back up. I don't know why. I don't know why that is. I mean, it's like a bunch of stuff has been done. Why don't we connect them? There's Don saying the same thing. I wish they'd finish Highway 158. I don't know. Hold on, y'all. Let me write a note. 158 question mark. Because I know exactly what y'all are talking about. It's like great where it's built, right? It's like, oh, man, this is fantastic. Oh, it's come to an end. Hang a left and head south. Where's the funding? Okay, somebody's asked, where's this funding coming? The funding is coming the way John Sharp talked about it in that story. And the governor said this comes from the gas tax money going into 43. So that's where that's coming from. Grant says, because Mississippi has money because of lotto. Yeah, we've talked about that in the past. Actually, they had money because of gaming first, because they built, I mean, that Highway 45 stuff was all done up there in Mississippi before they had lotto. Remember, lotto has been the latest, which is kind of weird. If you think about it, if there's a scale of gambling, and I've often been known to say lotto is like the wine spritzer of the gambling world. In other words, it's alcohol. Wine spritzers are alcohol, but they're just a little bit of alcohol, right? And I would say class three gaming is like having a nice pour of some rip or some bourbon, you know, or what other people drink, vodka or gin or something like that. So on the scale, but it was weird. Mississippi was first with gaming, right? Casino gaming, then gets around to lottery. And here in Alabama, it's going to be lottery is going to lead the way, whether it's umbilically connected to class three casino gaming and sports betting, or it's on its own. It is going to lead the way here. It did not do that in Mississippi. All right. David said they're currently constructing 158 all the way to the Mississippi state line in sections. However, it'd only be a two-lane road, but they're building the overpass and bridges in a way that if they ever find the $65 or $75 million it'll take to go back and finish it as a four-lane, they won't have to do that work again. All right. There you go. There's some information on that. Matt says, it's not taking away from anything from a previous texter's statements, but I live right by one of these overpasses, and there is construction going on the 98 project. It bands all the way across Lot Road, McCrary Road, and is cutting into the junction where 158 and Challenger's Time 2. There's construction going on. There's road crews out there every day. Thank you, Matt. I guess I don't see them on the weekend. Where it spans Schillinger. Okay. Yeah, so that's where I end up turning. Because, you know, you're going along there, heading west, and then you got to turn south. All right. So, yeah, several people saying. So this is what I'm getting, and I'm getting from enough people. I think this is something to it here, that 158-98 is being completed as two-lane instead of four-lane. That was originally planned and cleared. Well, maybe they can take some of the $4 billion we're getting from the President Biden Saves All Super Spender event bill and use that. Jim's in Georgetown, says, I believe the last bridge is being built as we speak over Lot Road. After that, it's just a matter of asphalt. It will just be two lane for now, but later easy to four lane. Very good. I'm looking forward to that. It's going to save me some time. Also, Jesse saying we would also need some funding somehow for us in the volunteer fire department out there where 158 is built for when it's built, simply to cover more equipment. Okay, these are things that maybe you can get. I don't know where you. I mean, it sounds like we're going to have all kind of money for them to spend in Montgomery. Maybe something to look at there. All right, so there we go, and maybe we'll get somebody on to talk about that, like the timeline on that project of the 158, the extension there. I'll hopefully do that pretty darn soon. Oh, before we go to the news here, too. This is like, Dalton, and I'm trying to remember, like, some character in some movie that you can never kill. Like, you think they're dead. Well, like a double or Jason Bourne or something, but there's probably some other character that's better. It's Toys R Us. Remember, how many times has Toys R Us been dead? And then, like, the Phoenix risen through the Lego ashes to come back. So this story from Nexstar says, a New York-based brand management firm that already owns Anne Klein and Joseph, what is it, Abood? I know y'all think of me as a fashion mogul here, but I don't. Joseph, I think it's Abood, A-B-B-O-U-D, Abood or Abood, is taking control stake in the parent company of the Toys R Us and Babies R Us brands. So weren't we told that they were gone? We had no more of that, but now Coming back, WHP Global declined to release the terms of the deal with True Kids, which owns the iconic brands. True Kids was formed in January of 2019 when it acquired Toys R Us intellectual property during its liquidation in 2018. I guess they got a zoo there where they keep Jeffrey the giraffe. Since the deal comes nearly 2 months after the closure of the only two Toys R Us stores that opened in November 2019 as part of a small U.S. attempted comeback by the iconic toy chain. Yehud Shidman, WHP's chairman and chief executive officer, told CNBC in an interview that the company plans to open some Toys R Us stores ahead of this holiday season. He told CNBC the stores could be flagships, pop-ups, airport locations, or mini stores inside other retailers' shops. They haven't set a number how many locations they plan to open in the U.S. We're coming off a year where toys are just on fire. I mean, not literally, but and for Toys R Us and the U.S., it is really a blank canvas. So, the third or fourth iteration of Jeffrey, he could be coming back to a storefront near you. All right, be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 151. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Segment of show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. And right about now, we're close to now. The crew from 1-800-GOT-JUNK is at least one of the crews in South Mobile County. I know helping out our family. Some of the aftermath did the tear out stuff after the hurricane, and I'm lucky enough to have a place to lay my head down on Dolphin Island from my in-law's place. And we did a lot of work after the storm, getting stuff cleaned up, but there's still plenty of stuff that needs to be hauled off, and we just got to a point where we couldn't get it all hauled off. That's another way you can use 1-800-GOT-JUNK. I mean, they can come to your house, they could get the swing set in the backyard that, you know, you have no child younger than 30, you need to get rid of that, or you can have a guest room that's now a junk room, you need to get that junk out, or a storage unit or something at your office. Junk you need gone. In our case, this time, it was a bunch of tear-out stuff after the hurricanes of last year. Listen, it's real easy to make that appointment just like we did. You go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or pick up the phone and call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That's my buddy Trey. He's been doing this for 13-plus years now in Mobile and Baldwin counties. He'll even go to Dolphin Island and get your junk. So make sure you make that appointment. You've got junk you need to just get it out and move along. Move along with life and projects and all that. I get it. I'm like y'all. Use my buddy Trey. 1-800-GOT-JUNK. 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. The appointment, they will work with you. They find a day that works for you and a window of time that works for you, and they set an appointment. It's refreshing. They show up. They quote your price. If you say yes, they get to work and get it done right then. So do it. 1-800-GOT-JUNK online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. All right. By the way, I'm still reeling here from during the commercial break. I thought I would catch up with, I guess, where everybody else is in the world. I don't watch much TV at all, as it is. I'm horrible about that. And I know it brings like to a close a lot of conversations on the text line because people are like, oh, yeah, it was on such and such TV show. I'm like, I never saw it. And I definitely wasn't sticking around to watch the Grammys last night. But so everybody's talking about this Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion, T-H-E-E, Thee Stallion. So what I got from that, watching that performance of WAP, it was like Star Trek met like an old David Bowie video meets the lotto. You know when they show the lotto in states that have the lotto in like Alabama, when they do the little tube where it has the balls floating around, like, oh, the first number is 13, the second number is 24, you know. Those three things put together with some half the lyrics having to be bleeped out. That's what I got away. Was that my takeaway pretty decent? Was that in line with everybody else's that, you know, won the Grammy for best something? I don't know. All right. We get to the text, but I do want to circle back something I said before the news break there at 30 minutes after the hour. So Alabama's seasonally adjusted unemployment rate for January was 4.3%, the lowest rate the state has enjoyed since the beginning of the coronavirus pandemic. Okay, it's not just Alabama. By the way, a year before, in January 2020, it was 2.7%. It was, you had to hide from a job before coronavirus hit in the economy, right, that Oh, yeah, that was President Trump. What are we, and not all states are in our same situation for unemployment rate, but many are. They passed this $1.9 trillion spending bill, 9% of it going to COVID. And I'll tell you, I'm an advocate. If somebody has lost their job or income level or something like that because of the government restrictions for COVID, I want them to have help. But all the other money, like coming to Alabama, $4 billion coming to Alabama. Now, I'm a pragmatist. If they voted it through, they've allocated it, you know, everybody else is going to spend it, we'll spend it too. But it's wrong. It's wrong that we're spending that kind of deficit spending when things are turning around in states like Alabama and many others out there. It's, I mean, why? Why not wait? Why not hold back? I know this is an idea that falls on completely deaf and soldered over ears in Washington, but why wouldn't you hold that back for if things got really horrible and then you had that money to bail out more people? Bail out the people that need it with some of the money. Hold the idea, kind of put the idea together and hold it back. And don't just spend it to spend it. But obviously, we all know why. All right, some unreadable commentary about Toys R Us. I won't get to that. Also, here we go. More of, all right, the story has moved south. You know, last year, it was all of us here in South Alabama that were the super spreader event because of spring break. Now, at least according to thehill.com, it's hundreds of spring breakers ignoring COVID-19 rules arrested in Miami Beach. All right, so they're down there by Penrod's or whatever on Miami Beach. Says the mayor of Miami Beach, Florida, Dan Gelber, Democrat, said in an interview released on Monday that hundreds of people celebrating spring break in South Florida had been arrested in this past week for ignoring coronavirus guidelines. Speaking to CBS News, Gelber said that people were gathering in two larger groups and that at least two police officers had been injured over the weekend while handling the crowds. They said, we've got too many people coming, we've got too many people acting out, and we have COVID at the same time. So it's a triple threat. Let me argue that most of the time at a spring break event, you probably have too many people acting out. I mean, I think that's been, from whenever they first started spring breaking, I think there's been people acting out. That's just my take on it. Police reportedly dispersed the unruly crowd of spring breakers at Miami Beach on Friday, shooting pepper balls at the crowd, go, 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 of people. The incident began when officers encountered a crowd of 200 blocking an intersection. Yeah, party. Gelber goes on to say, if you're coming here because you think anything goes, you're going to have a terrible time. We're going to arrest you. We've made hundreds and hundreds of arrests. Now, will Miami Beach get treated the way that, like, for example, when Orange Beach decided, you know, like, hey, we're not going to do this, that, or the other during spring break. In Gulf Shores, they talked about this to try to rein things in, and they got called old fuddy-duddies or some other term like that. Well, Miami Beach is doing the same thing. They're arrested hundreds of them down there at Miami Beach. So, and shooting them with pepper balls. I mean, you know what that, if you've ever seen pictures or video of Miami Beach, if they were actually out on the beach, the amount of clothing other than masks out there is very, it would be scant. So the pepper balls most likely are hitting flesh. All right. So if you're going to go act unruly on Miami Beach, make sure to wear at least a one piece and maybe, ladies, a cover up or something like that. All right. Paul Feinbaum, he does his thing coming up next. I will talk to y'all tomorrow. Have a great one.